ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying the Maitreyi Yajnavalkya Brahmana, a section called Maitreyi Yajnavalkya. Earlier, Yajnavalkya started teaching to Maitreyi when, after she rejected every possible worldly good and expressed a deep desire, I want to follow your footsteps and I want also to obtain Atmajnanam, self-knowledge. Then Yajnavalkya understood. How did he understand? Because he, like Yamadharmaraja, tempting Nachiketa with all worldly goods. Worldly goods means we have to understand worldly happiness. Worldly happiness means limited happiness. Everything in this world, every object can give only very limited happiness, which is called Pratibimba Ananda. Bimba means original and Pratibimba means reflected. Every person is a mirror. And the original consciousness, which is another word for Brahman. Who is Brahman? Sat Chit Ananda. When Brahman is reflected in our body-mind complex, especially in the mind, then we get sometimes happiness, sometimes unhappiness, depending upon how much limited that reflection is. The less manifestation of the reflection, the less happiness we experience. More of the reflection, more happiness. But even the highest reflection, which is symbolized by the Anandamaya Kosha, is totally finite, limited by time, space and object. Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda. But Maitreyi had overcome the temptation. She wanted complete happiness and that is what she was getting through the teaching. Nobody can give directly liberation. Liberation comes only when a person comes to know, I am not the body, I am not the mind. Even though that is a general statement, but there is an exception. And we always have to keep as devotees that exception in mind. That exception is Kashi. I do not know whether any other such place is available where we can really get mukti by dying. But Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, direct disciples, of course, the Shiva Purana, etc., categorically states, whoever dies, whichever creature dies, even an amoeba dies, it gets mukti. Rather, not gets mukti, but it realizes, I am free all the time, but for some time, I forgot my own nature. So, obtainment, recollection of what one is doesn't change one's position, but it only brings back into complete picture what we already are. We are not losing anything through ignorance. We are not gaining anything through knowledge, but it is just bringing back our true memory of who we are. Yajnavalkya understood that Maitreyi is a fit disciple, and when an individual becomes a fit adhikari, a fit person, then shravanam will take place. Until that time, even hearing the highest truth will not stick. If there is oil, then sticky substance cannot stick to anything so long as that oil is there. So we have to wash this oil thoroughly, and then only something can stick. Ramakrishna used to give the example of a camera film. So there is something special there. Whenever the light falls upon that film, then it remains permanent so long as the coating on the film is firm. You cannot take a second picture on that film. I don't know whether any magic can be done now, but that is the general condition. So then, how do we, if we are all Brahman, if everything is Brahman, even to say, use the word plural, all of us, from our point of view, all of us, from Brahman's point of view, there is no all. Not only there is no all, there is no one also. One goes with all goes with one. If one is removed, everything disappears. So that is the mukti. And that mukti Maitreyi wanted. And we also want. Only we are not expressing it directly. How do we say, do you ask an ignorant person? Or you ask an evil person, do you want mukti? Of course, yes. But his understanding is, if I obtain this object, if I remove this obstacle, then my happiness will be full. Of course, we know that's not going to happen. As soon as one obtains something, it loses its charm. As soon as one obstacle is removed, 1,000 obstacles will pop up. So that is not going to be possible. The only thing is, we have to get rid of all chitta vrittis. Chitta vritti nirodaha. That is called yoga. Then what remains is only the purusha, one's own self. Purusha means one's own self, true self. So first of all, Yajnavalkya taught that there is nothing other than Atman. Everybody loves only one's own self. That word self should be understood not as the individual self, but as the infinite self, true self. And how do we know? Because everybody desires, let there be no death, let there be no ignorance, let there be no misery or suffering. If you study the teachings of Bhagavan Buddha, life is full of suffering. Even Brahmaloka is full of suffering. In comparison with worldly happiness, it is incomparably higher state. But from the viewpoint of Brahman, Brahmaloka is nothing but a small happiness. So if you can understand what is the comparison between infinity and finiteness, then you can understand. Brahman is infinite, Brahmaloka is finite. Any amount of enlargement of the finite, we cannot make it infinite. It is not possible. So, and then he said, that is the goal. So, Atmava re drashtavyaha shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. The goal of life is to know that I am Brahman. And for that purpose, one should approach a proper teacher who is a Kshatriya, who is a Brahmanista. One, not only a realized soul, but he should have thorough knowledge of the scriptures. Or scripture means not that he should mug up Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, etc. Not that he should have scholarship. No. Shrotavya means he knows the essence of the scriptures. What is the essence of the scripture? That is, sarvam khalvidam brahma. There is no other thing other than Brahman. That is the essence of all scriptures. Only with a bit of elaboration, Shankara gave that answer. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahmaiva Na Paraha. We have to understand this beautiful equation. But there is God alone is real. Everything else is temporary. The temporariness, that word used by Sri Ramakrishna, everything is temporary, is equivalent to the Sanskrit word mithya. So that is what Yajnavalkya had taught. You must know who you are and you must hear about who really you are. Because at this moment, however good a person you are still thinking, I am a disciple, I am an ignorant person, I am of limited knowledge, of limited power, and I go through all these changes, birth, growth, old age, disease, death, etc. This is our, however advanced we are in intellect, this is our experience. Everybody has to go. And everybody thinks this is the reality. But no, the teacher will tell you that is a temporary understanding. That's not correct understanding. That this reality we call the world is a temporary understanding that this is real. Just as so long as we are dreaming, we think this is true. This is reality. Because I am experiencing it. I am the proof. No, when you wake up, when I wake up, I realize that everything is temporary. We have to understand. And we do understand. But we do not go beyond certain limit to probe into this mystery. And that is the tragedy of life. That is what these avatars come, the form of Krishna, etc., etc., in order to teach us this lesson. So, we are coming back. Yajnavalkya wants to teach that this understanding that the world is real. Because, how do I know the world is real? Because, I think, since I am real, what I am experiencing is real. Therefore, everybody is real. What everybody is experiencing is real. And what we are all experiencing is the world. Therefore, the world is real. Even though dream experience conclusively proves that that is not the truth. Deep sleep further confirms that what we call the world is not true. Only in waking state we think it is reality. But when we change from waking to dream, dream is the reality. Waking state becomes unreal. When we enter into the deep sleep state, both states become completely unreal. This is how we have to understand. So, first you have to hear, then you must struggle. Am I convinced? What my teacher says, I am Brahman. That is called Mahavakya. And for that the teacher initiates the person, especially in the path of Advaita Vedanta, Tattvamasi. But even in the path of Bhakti, the Guru gives the mantra in the form of a Ishtadevata. What is the idea? The Ishtadevata is God and He is infinite. He is all-pervading. And the moment we are told He is all-pervading, I say, or I think, or I understand. So I am here. Everything is God, excepting myself. All pervasiveness includes everything. There is no exception, there is no exclusion. But still our individual sense of individuality doesn't easily disappear. So slowly a person has to be taken up step by step. So what is the first step? It is to prove that this world is an effect, and every effect must have a cause, and that cause is unchanging, infinite, but the effects are many and changing and temporary and unreliable, consisting of good and bad dualities. So that is why every Upanishad practically brings up the idea of creation, not to prove that creation is real, to prove that creation is really a misunderstanding of the highest truth. So he goes on telling how through the help, with the help of logic, that this world is nothing but an effect. We see everything in this world. You see a man, oh, he has got his parents. You see a puppy, it has its parents. You see the young one of a monkey or a cat, kitten, and it has. You see a big tree, it has come from a seed. The seed has come from a big tree. So this endless cycle of cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect is going on and on and on. So creation is brought out. That is, the intelligent teacher doesn't want to upset. He wants to establish a rapport. Just like a psychologist at first doesn't deny the outburst of the mad patient. He says, yes, yes, you are right, you are right. That person really is trying to harm you. You are thinking right, and then slowly confidence grows in the madman that my teacher understands me, and there is a relationship established, rapport. And then slowly he trusts the psychologist or psychiatrist. And once he accepts, what is it? My psychologist is my greatest well-wisher, and he is in a position to understand me much better than I myself understand. And if there is any person who can help me, he is the only person who can help me. Once I had a talk with a psychologist in Bangalore, very well-known psychologist. And then he told Swamiji, I asked him, how long will it take to cure a patient's madness? And he told me, Swamiji, nobody can tell that. It all depends upon how soon a rapport is established. With some patients, a few days. Some others, few months. With some others, many, many years. The cure, the recovery starts only when the rapport is totally established. Now, transpose this situation between the guru and the disciple. A disciple slowly develops a rapport. What we read here, Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, is the what is called highest culminating point only. At first, there is a blind faith. Then, as the disciple is slowly trained, then he gives up his wrong notions. Then sometimes doubts creep up, and then he undergoes terrible suffering. But slowly, he develops a rapport. These three things happen, that my guru loves me, and whatever he is doing is for my good, and he is in a position to help me. Nobody else can help me. And for that, I have to surrender myself to him. So, Sishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prapannam. This is called Prapatti Marga by Sri Ramanuja. And each one of us have to go through that period without any doubt. So, like that patient, we are all actually patients only not suffering from other diseases, but from this terrible disease called Maya or ignorance. So, creation is accepted as a temporary condition to establish rapport by the guru, but he very intelligently, he connects it with Brahman. Now, scientists do not connect it with God at all. They say it is blind nature. But a spiritual person needs to connect this everything in this world, including his own individual personality, with God. So, for that purpose, the guru goes on telling, So Maitreyi must have been a very advanced student. So straight Yajnavalkya goes into beautiful explanation which we have seen in our last class. What is it? That creation is the manifestation or Brahman. What is creation? It is with Brahman, with name and form, is called creation. Creation without name and form is Brahman. For that I gave the analogy of a wax garden. From a child's point of view, man is different, trees are different, animals are different, insects are different, everything is different in that. But a grown-up man looks at it, what is the value of a tree, the value of a wax? That's all. There is nothing else. What is the value of an ornament? Only the value of a gold. Of course, we have to accept if it is a small ring around our fingers. So, that much gold, that much value. If it is a waistband, then it is much more costly. Again, it is nothing but the value of gold only. So, slowly you accept, yes, this world is real and this world is coming out of Brahman. So, slowly he wants to say, so if the world has come out of Brahman, what is the point? Point is, I am also part of the world. So, I also definitely am coming from Brahman, from God. So, my father and mother is none other than God. This is how slowly I recognize, as though he is my ancestor. And everything, my grandparents came from their parents. And my grandparents gave birth to my parents. And they gave birth to me. Thus, I trace back my origin to that ultimate cause, which is Brahman. And that is a great progress in spiritual life. But along with that, another progress also is made. What is it? If I am coming from Brahman and I am a manifestation of Brahman, then what about my father, my mother, what about my neighbors, what about everything in this world? Apply the same rule, everything, just as every Nama Rupa in the wax garden is made up of wax. Everything in this world, the whole creation, is nothing but made up of only manifestation of Brahman. And in what way Brahman is manifesting? In the form of Sat, Chit and Ananda. For that purpose, since Maitreyi was an advanced student, Yajnavalkya gives three examples which we have briefly discussed in the last class. He gives the example of a sound. And you know, as many creatures or species, so many different sounds. But if we can understand or listen attentively, not only just as, let me first give an example. If you are growing up in a family of 10 members, we recognize this is the voice of my mother, this is the voice of my father, my brothers, my sisters, etc., etc. So, first samanya dhvani, common sound. Then, according to the person. So, this is a baby's cry. This is a grandmother's voice. This is parents' voice. We gradually separate. So, common sound now is divided, attributed. Especially, each sound differs. The sound that comes from the throat of that particular person. The sound of a baby and the sound of a grown-up person cannot be the same. Now we have to apply it universally. Even, say, parrots, it has a common sound. But every parrot has some speciality, variety is there. That is the second variation. First variation, common sound made by a parrot. And you understand, if you hear, suppose there are three parrots, all the three parrots will make parrot sound. bring out parrot sound. But each parrot, some slight variation is there. That is the second branch. We have to accept it. And if we hear for some time, we can distinguish. This is parrot number one. This is the sound of parrot number two, parrot number three. This is the second variation. The third variation, each single parrot, sometimes it screeches with a high voice, sometimes with a low voice, sometimes with a normal voice. So it has got different variations. Two variations we have seen with one common sound. Now apply it to some musical instruments. In this case, the examples taken of a drum, of a veena, and of a conch. A drum, a conch, and a veena sound. Any one of us, unless we are tone deaf, we can distinguish when drum is being beaten. That is the common sound. So that is not the, we have to understand. Sound, common sound is common to the whole creation. But this, every instrument produces its own peculiar common sound that is common to that particular instrument. But when the same instrument is played at different notes, higher notes and lower notes, then it gives variations. But then what is the point? The first point is we understand that this sound, it is a sound. That is how we hear it. Whatever we hear is a sound. And then the second thing is every single living creature or instruments of music, vocal or instrumental, they have their own peculiar common sound. That is the second. So, for example, drum has its own common sound. Even if there are 100 drums, so rhythmically, in the same pitch, if they are playing, very difficult to understand with closed eyes, but still there will be variation. We need not go into those details. So first, common sound, which applies to the entire universe. Second, special sound, common to each a human being, human sound, whether it is Chinese or Russian or Indian or American, whatever. That is the second thing. But even that second sound is common, especially that particular race or animal or creature, within that sound, there are variations are there, individual variations are there. So, what does Yajnavalkya want to convey? He wants to say, the first thing that is common is existence. Take pure existence, like wax, unshaped wax. Like that, what is the first thing? As I explained in elaboration, if you go on going back, this is a table and it's made up of wood. Wood is divided into atoms, atoms into particles, particles into sound waves into mental thoughts. Very interesting analysis according to Vedanta. Everything is chittavritti only. Even what scientists boast as the, what is called particles or whatever, we take the atoms as common measurement. So the whole creation is nothing but atoms, living as well as non-living. Then slowly the inorganic atoms, somehow they manifest themselves into living organic material. And then slowly variation, we can say almost infinite variation, until it reaches the peak in the form of an most enlightened human being, vidvattamaha brahmanaha. So this is how we have to understand it. So in the same way, first you go on analyzing the whole universe. How do we analyze or make it one, the whole universe is a manifestation. I experience it. So don't call it this is a tree, that is an animal. Call it an object. An object, whether living, non-living, one object. Whatever is experienced is subject to my knowledge is an object. So everything is an object. So the whole universe is nothing but objects. Then go on, expansion. So you say, all the human, this, I am a human being. So identify, we are all Indians, but we are all belong to the human race, wherever we are, even if there are on Mars or whatever it is, however peculiar they may look, they're all human beings. Then slowly expand. Not only human beings, we are living human beings. So from human beings, we are living beings. Once we reach that level, pranamaya kosha, then we find there is no difference between one prani. Same, every creature doesn't want to die, doesn't want to be asleep so that it can be eaten by preying animals, and wants to live, wants to be happy, and expresses its intelligence. So consciousness in the form of intelligence to survive and to try to be happy, even fighting is for the sake of being more happy. So this is how we identify with the every living creature, including the trees, the plants, anything that is living. But still there are, another division is there, non-living, so-called non-living, the mountains, and then the rivers, etc., etc. Then we have to identify. Whatever object is there, it is all there. What is the common thing? The common thing that one particular word is, I am, you are, a tree is, a rock is, water is, etc. That easiness will be there. Let us trace ourselves to that easiness first. Then we notice every living creature has got also the power of discrimination, intelligence. However small it is, there is, God has endowed with intelligence. So let us identify with that intelligence. What is that intelligence? In other words, it is called chit. That is consciousness as reflected in the mind, especially through the instrument of buddhi, that is called intelligence. And what is surprising is, even you take a small species, crows, it is not that every crow is absolutely intelligent. There are some crows which are extraordinarily intelligent. And they say they develop a sense of intuition. And just by the way I am referring, because I used to read lot of books. So Jim Corbett, a person who used to go and hunt and kill man killing leopards, tigers, etc. in northeastern area, he used to observe greatly and used to say, there was one particular leopard and it killed so many human beings, and then many people tried to trap it, but somehow some intuition comes to it. Some people are coming, this particular smell, and it just disappears. It took a long, long time to kill some of them, and some of them he could not kill, or anybody else could kill at all. So within this species, some mosquitoes are squashed immediately, some mosquitoes escape for a long time, or maybe completely, we don't know. But that chit in the form of intelligence is manifesting. That is the point. And that intelligence is not exactly the same even in ants and etc., etc. So there are some more evolved ants, more evolved dogs, more evolved every creature. That is how we identify some good variety of trees and make them even more sweet by mixing, hybridizing, etc., etc. So wherever there is easiness, astitva, then there is intelligence called chit. And wherever there is chit, and that inevitably leads to ananda, the experience of bliss. Let us keep this in mind. So Maitreyi was a highly intelligent woman, because without having that intelligence, she already found out everything is unreliable, temporary, and the cause of tremendous unhappiness and suffering. So she chose the wise path like Nachiketa and said, I don't want any wealth. Just think for a moment. If any ordinary person gets so much of wealth, even a spiritual person will be tempted. But this Maitreyi was never ever tempted. I want to follow your footsteps because I see that you have become an embodiment of bliss. And I want to be an embodiment of bliss. I don't want to be a slave to objects which people think will give happiness. So temporary things can give only temporary happiness. No temporary thing can give permanent happiness. She understood. So she has to sacrifice. That is called sannyasashrama. After grihastashrama, it is the sannyasashrama. Then he is giving this example. Only three examples he has taken. A drum, and then a conch, and then a veena. As I mentioned, that means these three objects were existing there. And every conch doesn't produce exactly the same sound. Every drum doesn't produce the same sound. However, an expert maker of drum, every drum he makes, taking care that they would be of the same type, some variation will be there. But that is not the important point. Important point is, a drum sound can be separated from every other sound in this whole universe, from every single living creature. Even wind makes sound when it passes through the leaves and the branches of bamboos, etc. It is as like a banshi voice sometimes, very ferocious and frightening. But the point we want to remember, so this every example we have to understand. And if we understand one example properly, we can move forward. So, take the example of the drum. And as soon as we hear any place, any time, oh, this is a drum is being beaten. That is the first understanding. There is a sound coming, common sound. Then what is this common sound? It is a sound produced specially by a drum. That is the second stage. What is the third stage? This drum is being played at various, touching the drum at various places and producing from what is called the seven notes, from the lowest note to the highest note. But what does Agnivalika want to say? That without understanding the common sound, especially the special sound completely of that particular object, say drum sound. So whatever variations the drum is making, all that understanding or even enjoyment depends upon our understanding. This is the variations in the common sound of a drum. So take another example, veena. So veena, you can play so many ragas. The seventh swara note or the middle note, which is called panchama, like a cuckoo's sound, and the lowest sa, like that. So everything is made by this veena only or flute only, whatever it is. Without understanding the common thing, we cannot understand the specialized sound. Now, what does this teaching lead us to? It says, without understanding that there is existence, easiness, you cannot understand the variation of that easiness. Without understanding, this is wax. You cannot understand, this is a tree, this is a bird. What we may not say it, but we mean it. So you point out in that wax garden to a intelligent person and say, what is this? It is a wax tree. It is a wax fruit. It is a wax bird. It is a wax dog. It is a wax human being. Just because they are different, just because it is a human being, its value cannot be more, because its value is the volume of the wax only. That's all. Everything is made up of wax, takes the characteristic, all the characteristics of the wax, a little fire, it starts melting the whole thing down. So, the first thing is, be aware of the existence. Then only our spiritual journey starts. I am. What is this I am? What is that am? Here is a tree. What is the easiness? The tree is. What is that is? What is the difference between am and is, or they are, etc.? What is the big deal of difference? Existence. That is existence. This is existence. This is also existence. Then only further inquiry will come. Now I hope I have been able to convey to you through these three examples. Every example is pointing to the same teaching. What is the teaching? First you grasp the common sound for that particular instrument. Then you understand the variations of that common sound according to the musical scale. Exactly in the same way, this tree, you first understand it exists. That existence is manifesting in the form of an object. And that object has got three things. It has a form, it has some qualities, and it has a name accordingly. So I will give you the illustration of a mango tree. So this is a mango tree. That is a mango tree. The other one is also a mango tree. What is the common thing between all these three? Only easiness. What is the difference? Special. What is called? Form. This mango tree is small. That mango tree is big. This mango is round. That mango is oblong. The other mango is big. This mango is small. Then we come to the qualities. This is also a quality. Big, small is also a quality only. So, yeah, what is this? This is very sweet. This is sweet and sour. And this is more sour than sweet. That's why it is used as a pickle. So, all these becomes understandable only when we understand the nature of the mango. So, mango's sweetness, mango's sourness, mango's color, mango's size, all these depend upon that common background foundation, which is called, this is a mango tree. Now you analyze further, what is the difference between this mango tree and this coconut tree? What is the common? Is there something common? Yes. That is called coconut tree. This is called mango tree. Is there a commonness? Yes. A coconut tree is, a mango tree is, a piece of rock, a stone is, a bird is, Sri Ram Krishna is, God is. So there is no difference. That isness without any variation is called Brahman, and Brahman with all variations. So according to the form, quality and separate name. So form and qualities and names, these are called qualities. All the three are called qualities, are for facilitating the separation of, you bring, for example, Langda mango. You bring that Dasheri mango. You bring that Chausha mango. Anybody who knows about these three, without second instruction, he will go and run and bring it. So slowly, what is Agnivalkya trying to say? That what is the problem in samsara? Variation. When I see manifoldness called nanatva, all my suffering starts there. But as soon as I try to find what is this commonness instead of seeing the difference. So you can see, say for example, that is a tree, this is a tree, the other one is a tree, all the tree species, trees, tree species, dog species, animal species, human species, bird species, insect species. So we are classifying a whole lot of things and reducing the complexity for our understanding. Then what is the common thing between all? Easiness. And this easiness, as I mentioned, is again divided, subdivided into two. With life, without life. That is, jiva chaitanya and jada. So jada, inert thing, a piece of wood doesn't mean, it doesn't have consciousness, it doesn't mean, it doesn't have ananda. How is it possible? Just I will give a small example. Supposing you need something to scratch your back, then you take a piece of wood, long wood, your hand cannot reach, especially if somebody has got small hands, and with the help of that wooden piece, then you are able to scratch it. Now, what have you done? You have extended your, what is called, function of the hand, transferred that to that piece of wood, and it is acting as your long hand. So a telescope is a long-sighted eye. A microscope is the ability to see the smallest things. A car is an extension of our legs, etc. So through this you understand that even a piece, what we call an inert piece, in fact most our houses are inert, so-called inert, our cars are inert, our aeroplanes are inert. Just imagine if they develop their own consciousness, suddenly you are at 35,000 feet high aeroplane. It develops consciousness. What the heck am I carrying for? What do I get excepting groaning and suffering? I will throw all these fellows out. Just see what happens. So, the common thing is, from species, you come to the common thing called is. Now, what is the nature of that is? It is, if you observe carefully, every isness is endowed with consciousness, which is manifest in the form of intelligence. And this intelligence is always seeking how to be happy. So, sat, chit, ananda. This must have been understood by Maitreyi, because the further conversation is there. This is the essence of why these three examples of a drum and a conch and a veena are given in this one of the most ancient of the Upanishads called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, and we will take up some more details in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhurmuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.